This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and let's get right to that surprise announcement President Donald Trump made this morning via Twitter. The president wrote, quote, "After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military." Well, just a couple of moments ago, White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders was asked why the president decided to do this, given that during the campaign, he had declared he would protect the rights of transgender individuals. And here's what Sarah Huckabee Sanders said.
He's also voiced that this is a very expensive and disruptive policy, and based on consultation that he's had with his national security team, came to the conclusion that it erodes military readiness and unit cohesion.
Well, in fact, the president this morning tweeted, quote, "Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail," end quote. Well, let's fact check something right here. Tremendous medical costs, says the president. Well, a recent Rand Corporation study estimated that the Pentagon's total cost to provide transgender-related medical services ranges somewhere between roughly $2.5 to $8.5 million. Now, that is a maximum of 0.004%, 0.004% of the Defense Department's overall annual health care spending. So in DOD budgetary terms, a tremendous cost it is not. So what's really going on here? Well, let's first turn to Nancy Youssef. She's national security correspondent for BuzzFeed. Nancy, welcome to Radio Boston.
Great to be with you.
Well, first of all, tell us, did the Pentagon know that this announcement was coming from the president today?
So the rank and file, I don't think, did. When the tweets came out, there was a tremendous shock throughout the building. That said, we were told that Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis had been informed about the decision, but we haven't gotten any insights on whether he approved it or advocated for it. Up until this point, he has really been evolving in his views on this issue. Before he was Secretary of Defense, he had raised some concerns about allowing transgender troops to serve in the military. Since becoming Secretary, he has taken an active role in trying to get this change implemented.
Interesting, because wasn't it just last month that he had issued a memo or an announcement of some kind, Secretary Mattis did, that he was going to personally examine this new policy that was enacted by the Obama administration to allow transgender Americans to serve openly in the military. That policy was supposed to go into effect on July 1st of this year, just earlier this month, but the secretary had said he was going to review it personally and give an announcement in December, right?
That's right. What happened was, under the previous administration, the July 1st deadline was put forth as essentially the date in which the services would be expected to enact the change formally and put forth the policies that would support it. The Navy came forward, which also includes the Marine Corps, and said, we are ready to implement now. The Army and the Air Force asked for 2 more years to implement this change fully. Secretary Mattis came back and said, you have 6 more months. And so that's where the December 1st deadline came from. But earlier this month, when there was a proposal on Capitol Hill to amend the National Defense Authorization Act such that it put limits on transgender troops serving, Secretary Mattis told us that he made a call personally to make sure that that change didn't happen. And so there was no indication that he was in any way aggressively pushing for a slowdown or an end or a fundamental change to this policy.
Mm. And we should note that right now Secretary Mattis is actually on vacation today. Now, you tweeted a little earlier today that, quote, overheard at the Pentagon, we're taking orders via Twitter now. Tell us about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was just such a shock because this is an institution that obviously is built on formalities and orders and procedure, and this is the first time in DOD history that I can tell that a personnel policy has been announced in Twitter. And the fact that it was made put forward with no sort of guidance in terms of how to proceed, the services aren't implementing any sort of efforts to come up with new directives or new changes. They're all seemingly gobsmacked. And so I think the shock of seeing a personnel change, particularly in an institution that took 9 years to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it just goes against the norms of this building. So I was trying to capture the shock of it and how strange it is for a military institution to be hearing about such a substantive change
right.
in a tweet.
Now, I mean, that lack of guidance, it goes so far as to make it unclear whether or not this new directive involves new recruits to the military or those already serving, right?
Right. But, well, in the tweet, he suggests that it would apply to new recruits because he says in any military capacity, that is, that transgender troops can't serve in any military capacity. The reason we're in a gray area is there is a regulation in place that allows transgender troops to serve in the military. A tweet does not undo that. It has to be a change in the regulation. And so presumably when the president makes an order, that leads to a subsequent order to the services, how are you going to implement this change from the commander-in-chief? And that didn't happen. There was this pronouncement followed by essentially silence, and we heard from Sarah Huckabee Sanders at the White House today that all that is still being worked out. So, but for the military, it's just not normal. Usually when there's a pronouncement made from the president, it is followed up with guidance about how to execute that guidance or what the expectation is from the president once he's issued that order, and that didn't happen. It was literally an unexpected tweet on a Wednesday morning at the building just 3 weeks after the understanding was that it would fall on the services to be ready by December 1st.
Right. And in fact, we have a little bit more tape here from White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She was asked just a couple of moments ago on what will happen to transgender service members who are currently in the military now. There are more than 15,000 of them. She was asked, you know, will they no longer be allowed to serve? And here's what she said.
That's something that the Department of Defense and the White House will have to work together as implementation takes place and is done so lawfully.
So it sounds like the White House press secretary there saying that she doesn't even know and that they still have to work it out. Now, Nancy, one more question about this. It's a little bigger context here. I'm reading that while all this is going on, there's actually a bill in Congress, a House appropriations bill, where the question of transgender members of the military has led to some complications there. I mean, give us the context of that as well.
Sure. There was a Republican representative from Missouri who added this amendment that essentially said that the U.S. military would not pay for surgery associated with transitioning because under the current regulations, that surgery or those surgeries, if you will, is covered by the U.S. military's medical system. And so there was this amendment put forth that said that the U.S. military would no longer be responsible for paying, that it essentially wouldn't be part of the health care coverage, if you will. And Secretary Mattis called to try to eliminate that amendment and, in fact, succeeded narrowly. I believe the vote was 214 to 209, so to make sure that that amendment didn't get through. So it was a narrow defeat, and it was sort of the most aggressive form we've seen legislatively to try to stop or limit the opportunities for transgender troops in the military. The criticism from opponents has been that that the U.S. military will have transgender troops come forward, have taxpaying money and government health care paying for their transition, and then leave the military, and that was an unfair financial burden to put on the military. So that was sort of the genesis behind that, but it wasn't something that held much water in the Pentagon because the costs are so small relatively to a $600 billion plus budget.
Right.
And it was seen as sort of a mask to try to limit transgender troops. And the consensus has been for supporters that if somebody wants to put on the uniform and serve this country and is able to serve this country, they should be welcome.
Nancy Youssef, she is senior national security correspondent for BuzzFeed, speaking to us from Washington. Nancy, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Well, now let's turn to Representative Nikki Tsongas. She represents Massachusetts 3rd District, and she's on the House Armed Services Committee. She joins us now for more reaction from Washington. Representative Tsongas, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Magda. It's good to be with you.
So your first thoughts on how you reacted when the president put out his tweets this morning?
Well, I think I was shocked in that to the extent that if we consider the long process that the previous administration undertook with the Defense Department and RAND conducting a year-long analysis with working with the service chiefs, with working with the Secretary of Defense, with working with the administration before going forward and allowing and making the decision to allow transgender service members to serve openly. I shouldn't say I'd be too shocked that this change in policy came with a tweet because it unfortunately we contend with that on a regular basis. But just given the contrast in the long analysis was given into this, understanding the culture of the Pentagon, that decisions like this have to be very deliberative,
mm-hmm.
and then to have this that decision undone so quickly via a tweet, I think I understand where your Nancy was coming from and saying just how challenging this is for the Pentagon to absorb.
Well, I mean, she was talking about it being sort of like a shockwave in the Pentagon, mostly in addition because the actual implementation of this new policy, if that's indeed what it is, hasn't been worked out. But Representative Song, let me just take a step back here for a second. Now, the president asserts that there's, quote, you know, in his words, a tremendous cost. Now, we fact-checked that at the beginning of this conversation, that according to the RAND Corporation, it's between $2.5 to $8.5 million for the Pentagon to provide transgender-related medical services. I mean, a diminishingly small fraction of the DOD's overall healthcare budget. But for those people out there, for those taxpayers who, for whatever reason they have, believe that their taxpayer money, not a single dollar of it, should go to transgender-related medical services through the DOD. I mean, what's your response to them? The president is speaking, in a sense, directly to them.
Well, first of all, I think that you've said it correctly, that the DOD health budget is about, the health budget is about $50 billion in total annually. So the 2.4 to 8.4 million annual possibility of an expenditure is very modest. And even for hormone therapy since 2012, it's only amounted to about $297,000. The reality is that within that budget, the healthcare budget, there are expenditures on a whole host of things that are designed to keep people well and able to serve and contribute in every way possible. So for me, what it's really about is that our military is enhanced, it's made better when we can benefit from the talents of everybody who's qualified, able, and willing to serve. We do have an all-volunteer army, and in a very complex threat environment, we need to be able to draw in and draw on the talents of any American who is, as I said, qualified, willing, and able to serve. So what we don't want to do is compromise our ability to bring in the talent pool who best helps us meet the threats. And gender identity is not and fundamentally should not be an artificial barrier to military service. So that is the bottom line. And I think that's always the place I operate from.
Mm. Do you think that there is any potential response from Congress, from you, from your fellow colleagues, like any official response? Can Congress step in any way?
Oh, we will absolutely. We will fight this as we have. When the amendment was offered up in the National Defense Authorization Act, that's the single piece of legislation that comes out of the House Armed Services Committee every year. And on a bipartisan basis, we rejected the amendment that would prohibit funding for gender reassignment surgery. That was bipartisan. Democrats and Republicans rejected that notion. And as we are marking up today, in the next 2 days, defense appropriations or security appropriations, you will see us offer amendments that seek to undo the president's tweet. And hopefully on a bipartisan basis, we will again be able to bring it down. But the reality is this raises legal questions as well, and I think you'll see court action taking place pretty immediately.
Mm. Representative Nikki Tsongas, she represents Massachusetts 3rd, and she also sits on the House Armed Services Committee. Representative Tsongas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Magna. Take care.
Let's get one more voice in here. Matt Thorne, Executive Director of OutServe, an association for actively serving LGBT members of the military, joins us now. Matt, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So what was the reaction today? What's the current feeling amongst members of OutServe and the LGBT community more broadly within the military to the president's announcement?
Quite flabbergasted at the start of it. I mean, there was no expectation that this was even coming. But it's also the latest example of pseudo policy by Twitter by this president. And he's showing a fundamentally blatant disregard for service members who happen to be transgender, who are protecting our country voluntarily, and serve and who have been serving openly and are serving openly since October. I mean, that it's utterly flabbergasting to see.
And I mean, have you heard from transgender members of the military who are currently serving about how they're feeling today?
Yes, we have. And individuals who have contacted us are scared, are nervous that their commander-in-chief is saying that we don't want you. It's distracting our force. We have individuals who serve in elite teams around the world who lead commands, and this is a distraction to them that they don't need. We need them to be focused on doing their jobs. We are still engaged in two conflicts in the world, and we have two that are percolating with North Korea and what our involvement will be in Syria. We don't need them to worry about their commander-in-chief kicking them out while they're trying to do the mission that we as a country have asked them to do. So they are scared, and rightfully so, that their with their commander-in-chief being showing such a blatant disregard for the service that they're giving this country. They have voluntarily signed up to give their lives, if necessary, to defend our country and our freedom. And this is utterly atrocious.
I mean, if I have this right, you yourself wished to serve in the military, had planned to serve in the military, but when you tried to enter, you were unable to because of what was then the don't ask, don't tell policy. So you've got experience in terms of being denied the opportunity to serve. I mean, tell us what that was like and, tell us what that was like for you.
It was heartbreaking. I was looking at going into the Naval Academy, but being gay, I was not allowed to serve given the don't ask, don't tell policy. I come from a military family. My uncle still teaches at West Point. My father's side and my mother's side, we have a long history of service, and it's devastating. You know, I feel for everyone who's reacting to this tweet today and seeing this commander-in-chief say this. It is utterly, it just eats at your core when you want to do something and you want to serve this country and you are not able to do so. It's really hard to put into words how unfathomable it is that our country would tell someone, we don't want you to defend our freedoms, given the fact that we're an all-volunteer force and we rely on people who want to serve. We don't mandate that. So it was utterly destructive to me. So I went and studied international relations instead. And I'm proud of the work that we get to do at Outserve SLDN every single day.
Right. And
to the Congresswoman's point earlier, about litigation, we have every intention that if the president pursues this outside of Twitter and actually puts this in policy, that we will bring legal action against this administration.
Well, Matt Thorne is executive director of OutServe, an association for actively serving LGBT members of the United States military. Matt, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Now, I don't know whether it was intentional or ironic or maybe unintentional, but today is July 26th, and it happens to be exactly the same day back in 1948 when President Harry S. Truman signed an executive order desegregating the United States military. Just a historical note there. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.